Had a good time down at Flat Rock this weekend. What a blessing it was to hear Brother Graber preach. Always enjoy hearing him. He preached out of Matthew 11, being right with God. Just talking about faith and centered around Noah, and preached real good on Friday. And I was like, well, I could have listened to this more. Come Saturday, I don't want to say that it was a part two. It's almost like the next step in the series, kind of. It was a really good message. Don't know why I'm telling you that. I almost kind of wanted to preach it this morning, but some of our folks were there, so now I've got to wait a few months. It's always the bummer. All right, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you have made us accountable. Lord, we have a responsibility for what is inside our hearts. We have a responsibility for what comes out of our mouths. And I pray, Father, that you find us diligent in this practice. Lord, I pray that if there be many who, like me, struggle sometimes with the words that come out of their mouth, I pray, Father, that you help them. And Lord, you set us straight and keep us straight, that we may be the best representatives of you that we can. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now the Pharisees and the Sadducees and many others would come to Christ and try to find in some way a problem with him. You know, some people are just like that. They go to meet somebody and immediately they're trying to find out what makes this person less than me. That's a very destructive, very stressful way to live, by the way. I don't recommend it. The Pharisees and the Sadducees through Scripture seem to be having a very rough time. They'd come to Christ, hey, how do we know that you're not the devil casting out devils? How do you know you don't cast them out in the name of Beelzebub? How do we know? And the Lord let them have it. No matter what they tried, no matter what they did, they could not beat the Son of God. And what he instructs them here is that evil cannot produce good. If I take my little gardening area and I fill it with sand, and I just throw some weeds in there with some plants that I want, and every morning I go out and I water it with Coke Zero, and I go and I put it in the shade, no good will come from my efforts, right? It needs certain things in order to grow. Good needs a good heart. If you are going to do good, you must have a good heart. The Pharisees, as we see through their practice, they did not have a good heart. Their heart was more designed to, how can I get attention? How can I get prestige and power and money? And even though they saw God, the Son of God, doing great miracles, they refused to believe. Why? Because their heart was evil. It couldn't do anything with good. It's almost like when you start talking about certain things and people roll their eyes and make faces at you. I can't remember where I was, but we were joking about people wearing pajamas everywhere they go nowadays. You know, and you have that conversation out in public. I think it was us, wasn't it? Was it us three were talking about that? You just think about that. Anybody would have heard that conversation. Those people are so old-fashioned. Those people are so judgmental. No, you know what? I'm tired of walking through town and finding everybody just ruining everything. You don't take care of yourself. You don't take care of the things around you. You got no right to sit there and complain. You know, we had a lady one time, she was dumping her trash all throughout the building, refused to take her trash out to the dumpster, just left it there. Her kids would go out there, they would kick the trash bags around, there'd be trash all over the place, the carpet would be stained. Believe you me, when she was running late on her rent, she'd come in, she goes, I don't know why I'm paying all this money for a building that's trashed. Next time I went in there, I grabbed that trash bag. I started going through. Guess whose name was on an envelope inside there? Guess who got a $50 fine added to her rent? You know, just we want to trash things. We want to ruin things. We want to pervert things. And then we want to sit there and wonder, why is everything so bad? You know, why don't people act like they got a lick of manners when they go out in public? Well, because you think people like me who demand manners, you think there's something wrong with me. You think I'm old-fashioned and weird. That's your problem. You want to throw junk around, but you don't want to live in a trashy place. You know, and I mean that very metaphorically as much as I do physically. You know, we want to be able to watch whatever we want and participate in whatever we want and be around whoever we want. And then we want to sit there and say, well, I'm a very clean and Christian person. I don't know. I heard that joke you just told. I don't know. I heard the anger coming out of your voice and those diabolical words that you said. Whatever was inside of you just came out, and I'm not sure that that's what it is. Evil cannot produce good. Oh, but what about so-and-so? Did they not donate all of this money? Let me tell you something about these rich millionaires and billionaires who give money to good causes. You do know that the government takes care of them for doing that. You do know they get a kickback from that, and most of the time that's exactly part of their strategy. Who can I give that to? I knew a pastor one time. He ain't a pastor now, but he had the idea that he would fund the building of his church building. He'd go around, he'd send letters to these billionaires, reach out to these millionaires in the area down there in Cincinnati, see if they wanted to give a tax write-off donation to the church to help him build the church. And I don't know who did it. I don't know if anybody did it. But yeah, I'll tell you why they did it. You had me at tax write-off, right? And they sit there and they say, oh, well, I gave all this money. And now you get to stand there and everybody's taking pictures. And what is that? Well, that's good publicity. Even Mother Teresa, for all that they hoisted her up to, she was a terrible person at heart. You read what some of the people said that she did, some of the stuff that she got away with. She had a bad heart. So many. They try to produce good out of a bad heart. Good, no matter how hard you try, can't come from evil. Just can't happen. You just as soon as, what was that phrase? Put lipstick on a pig. I was so baffled by that phrase as a child, putting lipstick on a pig. So who would ever want to put lipstick on a pig? You know, I'd been around farms. I'd seen pigs. I'd seen pigs slaughtered. There were some pigs you weren't allowed to get into the pen with. Some you could. And under no circumstances would I have ever thought somebody holding one down long enough to put lipstick on it. And how ridiculous that thing would look. But that's what so many people try to do. Well, I give tax write-offs. Well, think of all that I've done for the community. Think of all the years that I've served in this church and blah, 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 blah. If you've got evil in your heart, real good can't come out of it. You could put on the show. You can make it look good. But something that is rotten at heart cannot be good. Hey, listen, I'll ask you this. Some of you, you know produce. If I've got some peppers, and those peppers are beginning to go bad, what can I do to make them fresh again? What can I do to make them good? Can I fix it? No. Now, what about this? What if I take, let's say apples. Let's say I've got an apple and it's starting to turn. What if I take that apple and I put it over next to a bunch of good apples? Will the bacteria from the good apples that make the good apples go over to the bad apple and make it better? No, they say you put a bad apple among good apples, it'll turn the good apples faster. Now, I've never tried it because who would do such a thing? But there it is. You can't do it. Now, thankfully, God can take a bad heart and make it good. We as Christians, when we find that there is evil in our hearts, though there should never be, we can repent of it. We can clear it out. We can make repairs. We can fix things. But we need God. But under no circumstances could we ever sit there. I like this one. I was looking some of these up. Somebody said about an outhouse, you can't make it a fancy place by putting a chandelier in it. we grew up north. My parents, my grandparents had property, and for the longest time, they had a trailer, a nice trailer. Not like a mobile home, but like a tow it behind your car trailer, but it was quite large. And they had a bathroom, and that was Mama and Papa's bathroom. And you had to be special to use Mama and Papa's bathroom. They made my dad and all the aunts and uncles and my mom use the outhouse. So we used the outhouse. You can't put a chandelier in there and make it smell any better. You couldn't raise the star accommodations by putting a chandelier in there. One time, I thought it was so crazy, my uncle found a very nice tissue paper holder, and he screwed that in, and everybody was walking around, Darren, that was a really good, that looks really good in there, Darren. Now, it was still what it was. You know, you could sit there and you could polish the floor, mop the floor, sweep it out. You know, I think it was my mom did that one time. She tried to do her best to clean it all up and clean it all out one time. And next time I opened it up, there was still a raccoon in there. You know, it doesn't matter. It's still what it is. You can't make good out of a bad heart. We used to have this rule at the apartment community. People would, we would have these meals, and the rule was we catered it. We bought it. The last thing you want is a potluck at an apartment community, because you can't eat out of everybody's kitchen. You know that. You can't eat out. There'd be people that'd bring food up for the maintenance guys, and we'd never eat it because we'd been in that kitchen. You know? We were just there. I know what I've pulled out of your garbage disposal. I'm not touching those brownies. Right? We know. Well, what do? You clean everything up, don't you? We've got two cats and a dog. Before you cook, you wipe stuff down. You clean everything up. You make sure everything's nice and what? Sanitary. You know what I'm saying? You don't let the kids play in there while you're doing it. You don't let animals up on things. You clean everything good, and then you begin. What do we need for a bad heart? We need to clean that bad heart. But no good will come from a heart that has gone bad. And we see so many try. Mark Lowry had this phrase. And I don't know if it originated with him. But he said, I can speak Christianese. We know Christianese, don't we? Somebody tells you good news, what do you say? Praise the Lord! Right? Well, and then someone comes up and they say, oh, well, hey, listen, this bad thing is happening in my life right now. Oh, praying for you. Yeah, they are the Christian words that we say. Now, and when we mean them, they are good things. But so often we just say them. Well, we're going to church. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, you got to handle it scripturally. You know, we say very Christian-sounding things. And I've met people who are able to say some very Christian-sounding things and be the furthest from Christian you could possibly be. And I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were talking about how they were going to officiate a wedding. And they talked about all the things that they did to officiate a wedding. Now, if you want to become an ordained officiant in Michigan, it's a 20-minute class, and it costs you about $200. And anybody could do it. And you could pick a fancy title. And he sat there and he was talking about all the different titles you could pick. And he goes, yeah, so, and he's making a joke out of it. And he said, this, and it was like he was a doctor of something inane and science fiction-y, and it was an insult. So he sat there and he's joking about it, and he goes, looks over at me, and he goes, well, what do you do? I said, well, I'm actually an ordained minister. I've got a license hanging up on my wall. It took me years to get it. I go, I don't know how much it costs for all of my training and all my classes and what I really put into my education. You put all the books together and all the hours of training, I'll guarantee you it's worth more than $200. I wasn't mean. I was kind of playing with him a little bit, you know. He just sat there and I took a shortcut and look how easy it is. Oh, well, I went about it the right way. Okay. That's almost like sitting there, you know, somebody trying to sell you a magical powder going to help you lose weight, calling themselves a fitness coach. I don't think so. Well, what do you sell? Well, I've got these pills that I order offline, and if I sell five of them, I get this. And what I am is I'm a dietitian now. No, you are not. You are a salesman. And we need to know the salesman when we see the salesman. And immediately, the moment I said something to this guy, he put on the Christianese. You ever do that? Well, I go to such and such Baptist church. Oh, well, praise the Lord. Absolutely. Yeah, I went to church when I was a kid. And of course, everybody's a small degree theologian based off of that the 5 years they spent in Sunday school when they were a toddler. And they break it out. And you see some people, they'll come and they'll manipulate you by faith. Hey, this is a very Christian thing to do. This is a very Christian organization. Hey, this is a very Christian group. And all they really want is money off of you. Right? I was sitting there, you listen to the quote-unquote Christian radio. Well, hey, please donate $5 to our ministry, $10 to our ministry every month. Hey, there's some people out there giving $50 a month to our ministry. I bet if I look that radio station up, that's not attached to a church. I bet they're making money. I bet that that would technically be income. Right? They're making money off of stuff. They're selling this, selling that. They're selling airtime. They're making their money. Now, you know how I feel about that. You're not a ministry. You're a business. And it's okay for a Christian-themed business. I love a Christian-themed business. Right? If you come out and you say, our radio station is a business that serves Christian content. Hey, man, absolutely. I'm for you. But what do? We're a ministry. Ministry comes out of the church. You're making money. You're not affiliated. I'm so sorry. You're a business. So again, we got to be careful. What is it that you're saying? You can't doll things up with your words and try to sound righteous and actually be righteous. It doesn't matter how many times you say there's no place like home. You're staying right where you are. Right? We think about that. Well, you got to visualize it. And you sit there and you see people with this hyper-spiritualized view where they sit there and they try to, what's the phrase, manifest their dreams. So they'll sit there and stare at what their dreams are and they'll just pretend that it's going on until it happens. Nothing has ever gotten done by me sitting there and pretending. I'm a daydreamer. Trust me. It don't happen. I've never woken up from a daydream going, hey, it happened. It worked. Why? Because it don't. We put on fancy words, we do things, but unless we have real obedience and real submission to God and doing things His way, we won't find any change. We won't find any difference. It'll only be an evil heart trying to pass as good. If you aren't truly Christ-like, it doesn't matter how good you sound. Said it one time, and I think I made somebody really angry. Not here, but I think I really frustrated somebody. I think it's because they didn't quite understand what I said, but you can be saved and not be Christian. You know what Christian means, right? Christ-like, the eon, right? You have Paulicians, you know, like Paul, like Christ. You could be saved, be nothing like Christ. You could be a member of a church for 35, 45, 100,000 years. And still not be Christ-like. And I get into that debate all the time with folks. Well, what about so-and-so that claimed to be a Christian and they did this and they did that? Well, you tell me. Is what they did, was that very Christ-like? No, well, that's not a Christian. Saved or not, they're not Christ-like. They are a bad representation. What are we supposed to be? We are supposed to be a light. We're supposed to be a candle. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. But sometimes that salt loses its savor. And it ain't good for nothing. And we got to be mindful, because that could very easily be any single one of us to lose our savor. To lose the Christ-like part of us. Not our salvation. We still go to heaven, but I think that's a special kind of punishment for a child of God. To go to all the lengths of living on this planet. And show up with nothing in our hands. Because we lost our Christ-likeness. We stopped being like Him. And though it is a struggle, and though it is a climb to be able to achieve Christ-likeness, it is still a worthy thing to do. Matthew 5:37, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Doesn't that just bother you when you ask somebody a question? Is this on sale? Well, you see, here everything is priced according to yes or no. Is the fish fresh? Oh, yes, by all means, we catch the fish, then we freeze the fish, and then we bring it out. Well, that's not fresh. Well, it's fresh when we catch it. It's fresh when we freeze it. So does that imply that there was a particular time where there are restaurants out there that catch it, let it grow stale, and then freeze it? I'm sure there are, but that's not the distinction I want. Well, I don't want fish at all, but you get my point. You get my point. We need to be real. What comes out needs to will properly reflect what's inside eventually. But we need to be right on the inside and right on the outside. I've said it more than a dozen times. People will confuse you for God. Not in that they think you are God, but they think that God is you. And it is a carnal thing. But it happens. Which is why we need to maintain our integrity. Maintain our Christ-like spirit. Because otherwise we'll be sending the wrong message as to who God is. We are called to obey Him. So anything less is disrespect to God. It is sin. And of course the awful side effect is that it's going to confuse people. It'll ruin your testimony. Dirt that is inside your heart will come out. James 3:5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Now I've known some people who have needed to use very little restraint when it comes down to their words. And I applaud them. That's wonderful. Some of us, we have to work really hard. You know, it talks about a fire. You've got a small little fire. You know, I think about the campfire we had up in camp. We had this area set up. It was massive. Would have been a really big fire. And one of my favorite parts of the year would always be when that fire would fall and all the junior girls would get upset. Always look, because it's a deeply spiritual time. We're praying. We're singing spiritual songs. People are giving their testimonies of what God has done for them in the past. And all of a sudden the fire falls and everybody screams. That just gets me every time. But no, and then you go up to the cliff. Go up to the cliff. So you go up the hill, we got the big fire, you go up to the cliff. There's this little divot in the rock. And Brother Chrisman used to start a fire there for us. And we would sit there and we would sing and he would give a devotion. One year he kind of preached a little bit, you know. Just sitting there. A bunch of young people giving testimony, singing hymns. It was beautiful. That fire is easy to contain. Why? It gets out of hand. You know, it's only a few sticks. You just brush some dirt over it or kick it off the... Well, I wouldn't suggest kicking it off the side of the cliff, but... They're very easy to control. Some people, they've got fires in their mouths that are very easy to control. Some of us, we need to be aware of it. I was coming into church this morning and I saw this couple come running and the lady was in her... It almost looked like a Snuggie. You ever see those? Like she had one of those big fluffy blankets wrapped around her. It wasn't quite a robe, wasn't quite a blanket. It was something just running down. And there was a man who was running in front. And you could tell he was angry in the way only a man chasing a dog could look. You know? I knew what they were doing immediately. Because I'd done that. I had dogs where the moment that door was cracked just a little bit, pew! Some of us, that's our mouths. Left untended just a little bit, we're going to say something. Now, I want to be clear here. We never just say something. Every word that comes out of your mouth is a choice. I hate it when people say, I don't know why I said that. Unless you're really having a moment of confusion, you know why you said that. Hey, listen, you know, when I called you that name, I don't know why I said that. I know why you said it. You were angry. You were looking to hurt the person, so you let one loose. And you didn't think about the ramifications. That's what you were thinking. It's very easy. And I've heard some people sit there and say, you know, they make a mistake with their words. And they'll come back and say, I don't know what I was saying. Well, yeah, that makes sense if you made a mistake. But when we're pointed, when we're mean, when we're harsh, when we're direct, you know, I'll misquote a number, I'll misquote an address. But when you're saying something hurtful or mean or forceful, you made that decision. Those words came out by your bidding. I'll tell you what, if you ever have any problem believing that, go ahead and feel your back if you can reach, if you can reach that. You just feel back there. You feel a little spot for the hand to go in? No, that means you're not a puppet. It means those words came out because you chose them. I don't know what made me say that. Really? Was there a ventriloquist in the area? Did somebody throw their voice? Like, what happened? You know, we know what comes out of you is because you let it out. You know, of course, I've seen some dogs too. That door can be open. You can put the dog in the front yard. That dog ain't going nowhere. My mom's got a dog. It's more akin to a gerbil. And that dog will not go too far. Why? Because there's birds. They got hawks and things like that, but at that size, I'm sure a robin will do just the same. It's a very small thing. It don't go nowhere. My mom puts it in like hoodies and little skirts. It's weird. But she's going to listen to this later and get real mad. But that thing don't go nowhere. If you leave her in the backyard long enough, she'll come around to the front door and not just tap on it, you know? Just tap on it. Some of us, that's the way we are. We're not tempted very often to say terrible things. And that tells you the condition of your heart. Not just how much control I have over it, but how much control do I need over it? Right? If I need to be cautious of things, right? Hey, why is it that your door has so many locks on it? Well, look at the neighborhood I live in. And you go over to some neighborhoods, you know, you go back to where we are, it's very quiet. You don't get a lot of things passing by. You don't get a lot of people going down there. You know, you can relax down there. You know, it's a little bit more comfortable down there. You know, so we don't have to worry too much about double deadbolts and things like that. You know, but I've worked in some areas where you're installing, you know, massive doors with massive locks. Why? Because they will break into your house. You know, some of us, we need to put a lot more protection on that tongue. Now, we should all be mindful. We should all make sure that what comes out of us is right. But never forget that what comes out of you is a fire. And what is damaged by fire cannot be undone. Cannot be undone. I think of the people down there in Maui that pray for them down there. I believe it's Maui. Is that correct? Casualties in the 80s. Casualties in the 80s. You think of the devastation of that. Think of the hurt in there. As brothers, sisters, cousins, moms, dads, that's a very brutal and a terrible thing to have happen. Fires are devastating. You know what else can be devastating? The words that we say. The hurt that we cause. We need to limit the hurt. You know, sometimes I'll raise the spice level of the things I say just to clear things up, just to put a little bit more motivation. Hey, listen, I want to let you know how close you are to danger. You know, when you're parenting, you'll do that. Back when I was leading a team at work, I would do that. I'd put a little bit more fire into things. Hey, you know, in one particular case, I had to tell a guy, either you get this done or don't come in tomorrow. You got to put a little fire in there. But you restrain it. You use meekness, humility. Make sure that you're not just out there dealing blows because the fires that you start can sometimes become uncontrollable. And I'll tell you this. You can say, I'm sorry for what I said all you want. And you could say it to the most forgiving person on earth. But the damage you could have done to that person and how they see themselves and how they see you could be permanent. Permanent. We must do something about the inside. And it doesn't matter how well we try to pretty up our language. We can try to make what we say seem right, but if we've got some dirty communication coming out of our mouth, you can't fix it. People say this, pardon my French. I love it when people preface that they're about to swear with pardon my French, because I said, whoa, I haven't taken French since the 12th grade, so why don't you just keep it English for me? Keep it English for me. Hey, listen, we're all men here. Yeah, but do we have to be children? If we're going to be men here, let's be men here and not boys. You know what I mean? I didn't bring my gym pants today, so let's not talk like we're in a locker room. I used to do that. I'd get ridiculed at work. You know, when I took over as a maintenance supervisor for one of our groups, and I was there, and I said, listen, no cussing in the shop. No dirty language in the shop. We're going to have respect for what we're here to do. And if anybody walks by that door, no one's going to be offended. Well, we've been talking like this. I didn't know somebody hired a mommy to come in here. Ma. I took it all day. I don't care. You have some respect, you come there. You're a big boy at work. You're a man at work. You control your tongue. If you can't control what comes out of your mouth, if you're talking some foul things, if you're saying disrespectful things about this person or that person, if you're being disrespectful to women, how do I trust you're good at your job? If you can't control this part, I don't trust you with ease. And I told him that. I told a guy that. He got real mad about it. He goes, you're sitting there trying to micromanage us. No, I'm trying to see if you're a man or not. Can you keep control over it? If not, I mean, there's a bunch of other sites here that'll be more than glad to have someone just like you. We need to be firm on things. Well, pardon my French. We're all boys here since it's just us chickens. We need to get past thinking that apologizing for our words makes our words okay. All right, well, maybe I got a little hard. No, you should have thought about that before you said it. I like this one. Well, you know, I don't want to offend you. Oh, that's okay. Well, then no. Because if you don't know what's going to offend me, and I don't know what you're going to say, let's not roll the dice. I'm not a gambling man. Just be quiet. You know, every now and then I get people come up to me, they'll start something like that. Hey, listen, what I'm going to say is probably going to make you mad, but it's really funny. Shh. Nope. I don't need it. I don't need it. You can't try to make it right. Well, you know, sometimes in the heat of a moment, you got to lay down the law and I got a little carried away. Carried away by what? What carried you away? Did you lose your mind? The voices talk for you? Either way, you didn't just set yourself up real nice. What you said is you got an evil heart and you wrote it. You kept going with something that you never had any business to go. As we see Christ contrasting these two men. Verse 34 again, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And he says that out of the abundance of the heart. So a good man, out of the abundance of good in his heart, will bring forth good things. He will encourage people. He will strengthen people. And I say he, I say that very again very editorially, he, she, don't matter. When someone's got good here, good will come out. When somebody has bad here, bad will come out. But it is out of the abundance of your heart. My wife and I, it's a very comical thing, but my wife and I got into an argument over mushrooms one time. Now listen, I'm not telling you the story so you can take my side. I already know you're with me. Some of you sit there going, bless his heart. Mushrooms. Did you use cream of mushroom soup in here? Yeah, I don't like mushrooms. You know I don't like mushrooms. You can barely taste it. Then what's it there for? Flavor. Now to some of you, that makes perfect sense. To me, mm-mm. Mm-mm. I'm not about it. I'm not for it. I don't like fishy flavors. I don't like curry flavors. I just don't. Something about that combination of flavors, it does not do it for me. Some people, they absolutely love it. For me, no thank you. Right? Well, how much is in there? A lot. No thank you. How much is in there? A little. No thank you. I don't like it. I don't want it. When God talks about your heart as His dwelling place, He doesn't want it in there. I was researching our little furry friend from Wednesday. And I found that he is either, there's two different varieties, and this doesn't make sense, so please don't quote me on this. But there's two varieties of that type that live here. One is called the little brown bat. The other one is called the large brown bat. The little brown bat tops off at an 11-inch wingspan. Now, and I'm sitting, I'm looking at him going, okay, just trying to guesstimate. He is either at the top of the line of a little brown bat, or he's mid-range for a big brown bat. But ultimately what it comes down to is neither one is better than the other. I don't want either driving at me. I don't mind them over here. I'll go to the zoo to see them. I like driving home at night, seeing them whiz past lights. I think that's really cool. When I'm up here preaching, I don't want to see its face staring at me coming this way. Big, little, no thank you. So when it comes down to evil in our hearts, how much is good? How much does God want in there? God wants as much sin as your heart as you want a bat in this church. God wants sin in your heart as much as you want arsenic in your water. We don't want none. Zero. All right, well, if that's all you got, I'm good. I don't need any. See, we think everything is subjective. Well, out of the abundance, it means I can have a little bit. No, sin has a way of filling the space. Sin may come in just a little bit, but it fills the room once it's there. It's like those koi pond goldfish. You ever see those? Sometimes they're really little, but man, you let them go, they'll get huge, huge. Sin always fills the room. Sin always fills the heart. So a good man ought to have good treasure. Well, what do we mean by good treasure? Well, how about this right here in your hand? If I were to sit there and take the abundance of what is in your mind, the abundance of what you think of, if I were to sit there and say, this is the majority of what it is, what could be said about you? And I want you to think about that this afternoon. If I put it all together and I took what was in there the most, what would I come up with? If my brain was a dish, it was food, what would be the name of the food? If I had to sit there and think of all the thoughts that I thought and categorize them, what would be the predominant or prevailing thing? Is it evil? And by evil, we don't mean, hey, I'm going to go out there and slowly take over the world. I'm going to do awful things. I'm going to genocides and violences and things like that. No, sin. How many of your thoughts are sinful thoughts? Or as Christ would later say, how many of them are idle thoughts? Because idle thoughts, those can go either way. Those are dangerous ones. Right? Those are those middle ground voters. You don't know where they're going to go. You know what they're going to turn into. So again, good. I must apply. I must meditate on the Word of God. Somebody said one time, well, isn't that just brainwashing? What? Listen, if I'm going to fill my head out with something, it's going to be about things like loving my neighbor, loving my enemy, watching what comes out of my mouth, showing love, mercy, compassion, and forgiveness, not doing things that would hurt God, not doing things that would hurt others, not doing other things that would destroy my substance or my well-being. What a terrible thing. What a very oppressive thing to meditate on. Am I right? No. What a joke. Instead, what do they sit there? Well, you know, I like to watch this thing where little kids, they do the dances and that's fun. And I'll go over here and I'll watch the news and I'll follow politics real close. And again, there's nothing wrong with following politics, but I've met Christians who are more Republican than they are Christian. And that's terrifying. You sit there, well, what's the good word? Oh, yeah, did you see we did this over there in Congress and this or that? No, that's not what I wanted to hear. And I tell you what, I like a Friday morning. I like a time when we've got our fellowships and we're sitting there, we're discussing the Word of God. That makes me smile. Let's bring that out. Again, I'll talk about just about anything. And you ought not to be blind to the affairs of this world. But some people, the reigning topic in their hearts doesn't match what God says it should be. And that could be anything. You know, Brother Mark brought up some good things. Sports. This, that. You know, the different things that rile us up. They become the predominant things of what we are. Well, did you see what's going on in Wall Street? Hey, listen, I would love to come over and do this or that, but man, we got work going on and, you know, I got to take the next 2 weeks to really focus on this presentation. So sorry, I won't be at church for the next 2 weeks because I got to be in the office. I got to put in that 80 hours. I got to make sure that every minute goes to this or that. And, you know, I've met so people, they're so retirement minded. It would probably destroy them to find out that they weren't going to make it to retirement. Some folks don't. You sat there. Literally, there was a guy, 80 hours. 80 hours. Couldn't go to church. Couldn't go on vacation with his family. Couldn't sit down to dinner with his family. Couldn't do anything. Well, I got to make sure I retire good. Well, that reminds me of that. What the Lord said. Oh, build your barns. Store it up. Who's going to have it if you don't make it? Again, there's good practices, there's intelligent things, and you got to do what you got to do for certain things, but what you can never do is compromise and make anything other than Christ the predominant thing in your life. And it doesn't make it that difficult. People think that it's a difficult thing. Well, that means I can't have anything. Listen, you could have the job you want and still please God, provided that job isn't doing anything awful. I've had to turn jobs down because it would require me having to deal with liquor in one way or the other. I just refused to do it. All right, listen, your job would be to stock this, and then you'd go back there and you would organize the liquor supply every time you'd go, oh, no, thank you. And that was at a time I was down in Cincinnati. I was far from home. I needed a job. And they're sitting there willing to give me one, but it involved me having to handle liquor day in and day out. Oh, no, thank you. We're not asking you to drink it. We're just asking you to make sure that the shelves are stocked. No, thank you. Won't do it. And I'm going to be sitting there, and every time somebody gets into a car wreck or somebody goes home and beats their wife, I'm going to be sitting there saying, I helped that fool. And I just, no, thank you. I mean, the responsibility falls on the person doing the thing, but I ain't going to have any part in sin. Now, I know for a fact the Lord would come back on me for that. It cannot be the predominant thing in our lives. You know, I can sit there, I can have a decent job. I had good jobs. I worked hard. I put in hours. And I could still do it in a way that pleased God. God could still be the predominant thing. We still put God first. You know, what about this? Can I go and pursue this hobby? Well, is that hobby a sin or any way related to a sin? Well, no. Is it going to take you out of this or that? No. Oh, go ahead. But you got to do it unto the Lord. That's what it is. Making sure I'm not committing sin with it. And I'm making sure that everything I do in it, I bring honor and glory to the Lord for it. You know, people sat there and over at Flat Rock, there was the orchestra. And so often people would pick instruments. You know, these kids would pick instruments. And after they got good at it, they'd be able to join the orchestra there. You know, well, can I, you know, I got this, but I'm using it for school. And I'm getting a grade. Is that okay? Yes. Sometimes when I get really worked up from school, I like to go over here and I like to play my instrument for a while. Is that okay? Yes. But make sure that you're obeying the Lord with it. Is it okay? Yes, but make sure it's not sin. Make sure it doesn't lead to sin. And make sure that no matter what you do it to a level of perfection that you would do unto the Lord. That's what you ought to do with it. But again, a good. What is good there? What is righteous? Fill my heart with those things. The fruit of the Spirit. When we think about the good treasure of the heart, I think of the fruit of the Spirit. Those are good things to grow and apply to every instance in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit. Peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, all those. To have those things and apply those things. You know, hey, listen, you know, the boss came in, wants to give me promotion to shift lead. What do you think? Well, Is it going to lead to sin? Is it going to distract you from the Lord? No. Can you apply the fruit of the Spirit while you're doing it? Why, yes, I can. All right, there you go. Praise the Lord for it. You know, hey, listen, we need to have in our hearts an abundance of the fruit of the Spirit. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. There's not a lot of private places in my house. We've just got people. We do. We've just got people in there. And that's fine. That was a choice we made. I'm okay with it. One day it'll be quiet and it's going to drive me nuts. Right? I'm not in a rush. But there's not a lot of private places. And a lot of people think that the private place that they have is right here. But again, we look at that verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Yeah, we used to have this joke among some of my friends when I was growing up. I'm a Christian. I didn't say it. I was thinking it, but I didn't say it. You ever do that? I was thinking it, but I didn't say it. We ought to want God to approve of what we're thinking too. People say, well, that's very restrictive, isn't it? No, because most of the things you don't want to be thinking doesn't create a very good mindset. You know, why are you so stressed? Why are you so anxious? Because you're always sitting there picking apart everything that everybody else is doing and what they're saying and what this is and your desire to seek justice against them, right? That comes in a lot too. You know, you have those people that sit there, and I hate when I do this, but I bet you do it too, but we shouldn't do it. You ever have an exchange of words with somebody? And it wasn't a very pleasant one. And then later you come up with a really good comeback. I sit there and I say, ah! You know, all that time you spent in getting revenge that belonged to the Lord. You know, and we joke about it, but it's, again, it is a small example of what our heart wants to do. It is still grinding at a problem you don't really have. And what are you going to do? Pick up the phone? Block your number so when they pick it up you can throw that thing down there and hang up the phone real quick? What are you going to do with that? You just forged a weapon you'll never be able to use. Good job. Right? No, our hearts need to be right. Our thoughts, when we begin to fill our lives. Because a lot of people say, well, how do I control my thoughts? You don't have to control your thoughts. You have to control what comes in. You surround yourself by intensely negative and hurtful people. You're going to have some negative and hurtful thoughts. You fill your days and your life and your time and your heart with the Word of God and with pleasant, positive, happy people. Well, you're going to have some wonderful thoughts. You're going to have some helpful thoughts. You know, I like surrounding myself by people who know what they're doing in different situations. So if I ever get into a pickle, I know I can reach out to somebody who knows better than I do. That's good to surround yourself. We're all affected by the people we surround ourselves by. Right? We can either use that to your advantage or you can let it become a disadvantage. Either way, you cannot deny we are affected in the mind by those we surround ourselves with. So surround yourself with people who are godly minded. Surround yourself by people who are good and wise and not with those that would do disastrous things. I quickly learn when I'm in a group of new people where my people are. You kind of pick up on them real quick. You know, I was in a group of guys just recently, and one of them talked about how he had just dropped his son off down at Cedarville. And now Cedarville at one time was a very predominant Christian school. It's dulled in that, but I recognize that. I toured that with Danielle. We went through there. And that, I'm like, oh, man, because he was a... I can't remember what sport he said he was in, but when I was there, they were building this very high-tech, very well-stocked fitness center in there. Very nice sports center in there for training and things like that. And I got to talking to him. I go, okay, you sent your kid to... I know where my people are. And I sat there. I'm like, no matter who else is here, I could talk to this guy. And then you come over here, you see, okay, well, I that's my kind of person. And I quickly find the people who I can't go stand by. Well, okay, well, those people over there, I just heard that word. That's not where I'm standing. You got the people over here that no matter what's going on, they're complaining. I can't go over by those people. I'm not going to get sucked into that. I can either have an effect on the things around me or I can leave. But I absolutely will not ever sit there and just be I don't want to use that word, but be negative, hurtfully negative towards things if I don't have to be. Now, the evil man on the other side, he gives into the evil. He goes and he finds that negative group. He watches whatever's hot on TV right now. Hey, did you watch that? Yeah, you see that new thing on Netflix? Oh, yeah, what is it? Oh, it's about this, blood, gore, murder, violent language, and blah, 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 blah. Oh, no, I have not caught that. Well, you really ought to watch it. I don't think you and I have the same view of what ought to means. Because that don't sound good. Why would I do that? You know, we sit there and we develop poor mindsets. And we never question our diet. You know, if I were to sit there and tell you, hey, I've got some health issues, I run out of breath easily. You'd sit there and you'd say, well, brother, how about some of the things that you're taking in? Oh, well, what does what I eat have anything to do with my fitness? Come on now. That's what we're doing. Spiritually, we're taking in garbage. And we're wondering why we get winded. We're wondering why we get stressed. We're wondering why we get so hurt. Mark 7:20, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. That is what we are on neutral. When I am not trying, when I am not cleaning, when I am not putting myself in reserve, that is what I am. And it comes out. It comes out. Now, this is part of a different conversation where they're talking about things coming in defiling a man versus what's inside defiling a man, talking about, you know, washing their hands. But you look at this, that is what is already inside of a man. It's what's already inside of us. We do nothing, that is what is there. We need the Word of God. We need sanctification. We need salvation. We need those things that pull us higher and above. If I were to ask this, who here woke up this morning and did nothing to your appearance? Nobody would raise their hand. Because thankfully, nobody here looks like they're wearing their pajamas. Now, if you slept in those clothes last night, I've got questions. I don't need answers, but I've got questions. You know? No, you got up. You looked in the mirror. Now, some of you didn't do it, but I know I did. You look in the mirror and you go, whoo, should have woke up earlier for this face. You know? And we sat there, we changed our clothes. We showered, we changed our clothes. Some of you put a little makeup on. Some of you combed your hair, brushed things out. You made things look different. Why? Because you looked in the mirror and you go, no, sir, no, thank you. That's not what I want to look like today. And you made some changes. Right? We looked at that. I should probably wipe that out of my eyes and clean that and shave my ears a little bit and make it a little bit more presentable. When we look into the Word of God, this is what we see. These things. This is what we see. That is what is naturally there. You have to remove it. You have to clean it. You have to make things right. Otherwise, what? You're going to try to pile good things inside of garbage. And eventually, you're not going to win. We must clean out the old. How do I clean out the old? Repentance. We know this. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I am putting distance between me and this. I am running the other way. Right? I'm going to put some mileage between me and this, like it's Potiphar's wife. I'm running. Forgive me. Then what? Well, you got to put what's good in there to stop bad things from going in there. Right? If I don't fill it with something I want, something I need, anything else will come in there. So if you've got, I think about this, you've probably got cups in your cupboard you haven't used in a while. Or dishes or things like that. When you've got dishes stored and saved somewhere in your house, and maybe it's Christmas, you're having folks over, what do? You pull that dish out, do you immediately go to use it? No, you don't. You clean it, right? No, you clean it. and then you put the good stuff in there. Because you weren't using it, bad stuff, dust, dirt, debris, tiny bugs, who knows, got into that dish. So you clean it out. Then what do? You put good stuff in there. You start using it. Right? You get that good stuff in there. You clean it up. Put more good stuff in there. And there you go. It's a very wonderful thing. Your heart is the same way. I clear out the evil and I do the good. And we want to pay close attention to what the Lord says here in verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now that puts a very solid, easy to understand structure to judgment, doesn't it? And it makes us a little uncomfortable. To say that I could be condemned by my words is to say that I'd be condemned by my heart. Because if what's in my heart comes out, then that judgment will be based on what's there. And I hear people say that. Well, you don't know. Only God knows my heart. Yeah, but I know a bitter apple tree when I see a bitter apple tree. You know, I know a rattler when I hear it. I know a rattler when I hear it. I do. We understand those things. It's very easy. What comes out is a solid reflection of what comes in. Right? It's very true. Therefore, if I can be condemned by the things that I say, the things in my heart, and I can be justified by them just as well, that means I'm wholly responsible for how I'm judged. I'm responsible for it. Now listen, there's going to be some people who are mean just for the sake of being mean. But that's not a real judgment upon you. That's just somebody committing their own sin. But if I say something vile and people got something to say about it, I chose that judgment. Because believe you me, it doesn't matter how society shifts, you will still be judged by the things that you say. Now, society's got a weird way of doing it now, but ultimately, if somebody's telling you lies every time you talk to them, they're going to be branded a liar. If somebody's cursing and speaking about awful things and telling vile jokes, that becomes what they're known for. Am I right? And people will judge you like that. Well, how come you didn't ask me to speak at your wedding? Well, honestly, because I know some of the stuff that you would say, and I really didn't feel comfortable you doing that. Well, how come you didn't ask me to come and say this or say that? Or how come I'm never invited? Because you say some stuff. You know, you're mean. You're hurtful. We don't necessarily want that around. We want a nice, easy evening. Growing up, we had a friend who, no matter where you go, there's just the stuff that would come out of him, made everything difficult. You'd go to this activity, you go to that activity. They'd always be raising a fuss. Too hot, too cold, too this, too that. And they're just miserable everywhere you took them. Well, guess what? After a while, we stopped calling that person to come with us. Well, that's not very nice for you to judge me that way. Well, it's not really nice for you to anchor us around the neck every time we bring you around, you know? It's just not cool. Now, what about on the other side? You'll be justified by it too. Well, I like to go to so-and-so for advice. Last time I talked to them, I walked away with 10 things of scripture. There was an article that they sent me just encouraging me. They had all this great advice to give, and I put it to practice. And not only has my walk with God been better, but it cleared up the situation too. I mean, they really directed me towards the Lord. People get judged by that. We get justified by that. Well, did you hear so-and-so? They were cussing out a cop. So-and-so has never said a swear word in their life. There's no way they would do that. We get justified by those things. Well, did you hear so-and-so? They said this about you. They would not. You pick up the phone, you call that person. We build trust. We build character. We build friendships. We build other people up. If you've got that on you, if you're able to be justified in the sight of other people, which, by the way, is secondary to my next point, right? People will judge you, good or bad. Based on what? Words that come out of your mouth. Well, that's not fair. You're judging me based on only the things that I said. That's all I got. I don't have 10 pages of backstory. I don't have a crystal ball. And I can't read your mind. All I've got is what falls out of your face. That's all I got. That's it. Well, we need to be aware of that. Well, people don't realize just how much I love God. There's a reason why. Out of the abundance of the heart. It ain't abundant. If it ain't abundant, it ain't going to be obvious. More importantly in all, Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Fill my heart with those things. Why? Because there is somebody looking at you who can see into your heart. There is somebody who does know your thoughts. There is somebody who does have 10 pages of backstory, can be in your mind, and knows exactly what your future holds for you. And in the end, he will condemn you or justify you by your words. Hey, you sat there and every time somebody came by you and was hurting, you brought them back over to me. When you saw somebody who was lost, you were quick to give them the gospel. When it came down to worship and praise, as Brother Mark talked about this morning, you were in it. You were about it, and I could see your heart. You sang out of an abundance of love in your heart. He'll judge you. And he'll give you rewards on it. He'll sit there and say, well done. A good and faithful servant. Now what about the other side? What about the condemnation? For the lost, there's a very specific condemnation they'll face. But could you imagine sitting there going to the Lord? Well, I was a member for all this time and here's all the things I did for you, Lord. Here's all the things. And because you weren't right, because you had a bad heart, because you didn't have good words, while you were doing those things, you came out more Pharisaical. And those things burned away. And you sit there. I don't think there's going to be any question. There's going to be no debate about this. There's going to be no, Lord, are you sure you didn't make that fire too hot? You sure you didn't melt a precious stone in there, Lord? There's going to be no question. We'll know. We'll know in that moment. I think we'll have perfect hindsight in how we live. Sometimes we get fooled. Sometimes we don't see our own foolishness. I think when we stand before the Lord and that fire comes down on everything we've ever done, I think we'll know why it's gone. And that'll be a different kind of condemnation. Condemned to what? Lord, you gave me life. You sustained me for all of it. And oh, it wasn't always easy, but you stuck with me. And I feel that in the moments where my life was the hardest, your grace abounded more than anything else. We get so happy about the good times, we forget about how great God is in the bad times. Oh, Lord, you took care of me, all those things. You gave me salvation. You put me in a church, and I was fed there, and I was able to help others. You gave me all these things, but because of the abundance of my heart, I have nothing to give you. Because I polluted my mind and it affected my outward communication, I have nothing to give you. And to sit there, no. And again, I don't think our minds will dwell on it. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. But there's going to be a beat. There's going to be a second where we sit there with the effects that the abundance of our heart wrought. And we're either going to be so very happy or we're not. You got to ask yourself, in that day, for those of us that are saved, in that day when you stand before the Lord and you take all those rewards and you go to give it back to Him, how much you want to give? How much you want to give Him? For what He's given me, I'd have to live 9 or 10 lives just to start. 9 to 10 perfect lives just to start thanking Him. I'll never get there, but just to start. We only get one. We can't fix tomorrow. We can do what we can for today. Sorry, we can't fix yesterday. We can do what we can for today. We can do better for tomorrow. But again, it is all about a daily. And for some of us, sometimes a minutely decision to control what's here and control what's here. Don't try to grow something down here and keep it back. Get right here. And this will take care of itself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word that tells us how to live, instructs us, teaches us. Father, when we look at these things that you've warned us against, it amazes me that you would love us. We said that we put other people down for their great sin, but ain't none of us perfect, ain't none of us right. But Lord, you justify us through the blood of your Son. Lord, you care for us. Father, please help us to be found right. Chastise us when we're wrong. So that, Father, we can be everything we ought to and have the life that you meant for us. And that, Lord, even though we're not entitled to happiness, Lord, your people so often find it. We thank you, Lord. You've blessed us. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.